Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, June the 27th, 181st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon out of the swamp in Arcata, Chase Adams.
Good to be here.
Arcata CHP, if you're unfamiliar with the show. And you even brought somebody along.
I did. I brought my my sergeant, Martin Abshire.
Howdy.
He brought you or you brought him?
Uh-huh.
This afternoon, we'll talk a little about, well, there was an unfortunate situation that happened last night, but some of the different challenges that are going on during summer months, I think. Yes, okay, it's still officially here. Yes. And we can talk a little bit about some of the different challenges, because there certainly are many of them, whether it's scorching elbows on the side of your car and having to live with it, or just unfamiliar people in unfamiliar territories. And we'll talk about that, and I'm sure a little bit more when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams and Martin Abshire, both, okay, proper one time.
Okay.
California Highway Patrol officers out of the Arcata substation.
Okay.
Command post.
If we're going to get
area
technical.
Office. The fort.
Area office.
The Humboldt okay. area office.
Oh, that's right. The fort is out by Clam Beach. Sorry, I gave that one up, Chase. Somehow, Martin isn't laughing quite as loudly as you are.
That's the clubhouse.
The clubhouse, not the fort. Okay.
I'm just waiting for my turn as well.
Yeah. our quote this afternoon comes from Alexander Pope. Quote, "A little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deep or taste not the spring." That kind of almost goes into our conversation during the break.
I'm the number one thing I'll take away from my time at Talk Shop with you, Brian, is
quotes.
How each month you can blow my mind just a little bit further with your quotes. Never ceases to amaze me.
Well, apparently there's going to be a little vigilante activity against black trucks in the next couple of months, sir.
Oh, absolutely not.
Now, you said take away. That implies leaving.
Correct, sir. I am.
Is it something that I said?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, this is the one thing that I'll probably miss the most, by far. However, I will
He's
be
having a hard time explaining that, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
He's having a hard time coming up with real words to explain how he really feels.
The words were in my mind, but they wouldn't come out of my mouth for some reason.
That's probably a healthy thing.
Sure. I'm transitioning back to patrol. I'm going to go ahead and. Go back towards kind of the main duties that I signed up to do when I made the lofty life decision to be a law enforcement officer.
I got a question. Why, and maybe this isn't the case up the ladder, but why are the PIO or the community, whatever you want,
public
marketing guys,
officer.
You know, the outreach guys,
sure.
the smiley guys,
the school resources,
the guys that know how to do the car seats and all that kind of stuff. Why do they not tend to be senior officers? Why are they? Why do they tend to be folks that are rotating off patrol rather than getting somebody out of the office who might have a little bit more experience? Or
well, it's a case by case basis too. Different areas you'll go to, different parts of the state, you'll see the exact opposite. You'll see people who have done their 20 years on patrol and want to transition to. I don't know if light duty is the right way to say it, but it can be less physically taxing. That long shifts aren't there. You generally get a more favorable schedule, less and some degree less hazardous. You're not out there potential for getting into physical struggles with somebody maybe taken into custody, or you're not opening yourself up as much to. Some of the physical tolls this job can take on your body. So,
see, I'm looking at a guy like Martin here, who probably has been around a couple of times, who probably has more experience and more knowledge of some of the stuff going on, who'd boom, 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 and be able to talk about the flood 20 years ago.
There's a flood 20 years ago?
Yeah, rather than some young buck out of who knows where who's been on the force for 5 years who may not even know how to spell flood, let alone know how to deal with it. I could have gone for earthquake, but I think there's more emphasis on earthquake, yeah. So the spelling's probably there.
You know, it has a lot to do with your interest in that job and your enthusiasm and your personality. You know, historically, we've had very senior people as the public information officer here in Humboldt and in Garberville, for that matter. And so, you know, in times when there's a lot of retirements and a lot of backfilling of new employees, we may come up with somebody who has a great deal of interest and a good personality with a good fit for the job, and he ends up being somebody with only a few years on the job. And the majority of the patrol right now you're going to see are the a younger generation. And that's why. So, you know, young guy Chase is on his way out. Young guy Matt's on his way in. Matt's pretty highly experienced in all things media.
Well, he knows where we are located, too, so that
helps. And that helps.
Plus, they say he's got a good face for radio, so.
Well, I haven't had an issue with anybody not qualifying on that regard for quite some time.
I say that completely and sarcastically. Camera loves him.
Oh.
So he'll fit. I'm leaving the job in his very, very capable hands.
KINS-TV.
He lays it out. He lays down a little smack, and then immediately he tries to clean it up.
Yeah, you got
that
it.
That doesn't count
so
for anything.
So you see why Matt's on the way out.
I have learned during my tenure.
Yeah, a little something somewhere. What is the normal life, and I know that's a tough one, for PIO? Is there consistency, or is it just knowing it's going to be different each day and some of the personalities, whether it's staff personalities or community personalities, you know it's going to be a crapshoot?
Well, they're both sides of the coin. There are your monthly things that you you have to do. Well, you get to do, such as a KINS radio talk shop, which is always the highlight of my month, and then you'll have the things that come up, you know, major traffic collisions in the area, very newsworthy, very high profile events where the department, the CHP is involved, and you just have to play it by ear. You're going to get inundated with media requests for sound bites, TV interviews, radio interviews, preparing press releases, maybe going to the scene and helping out, whatever the case may be. So you get both of it, and then you have your regular duties of reporting and some of the administrative part of it too. So
good. We'll put you on the spotlight when we come back. It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding, and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Martin Abshire and Chase Adams, both fellows from the California Highway Patrol. Guys, this time of the year, certainly there are different challenges. We have different drivers in the area. We have different types of vehicles being driven in the area. And I would also suggest that we have different traffic volumes in different areas. I can't imagine taking an RV out Lost Coast, now at the Wildcat. But you know what happens. Because the tow trucks every once in a while dragging them back, and you see them, you know, out there at the beach and doing stuff. Yeah. Shelter Cove would be the same thing.
Yep.
For me, 36 is the same ballpark, too. I look at that road and wonder how they can call it a highway. To me, it really isn't. You guys had a situation that you responded to last night once you, I guess, Chase, is one of your official duties, since you've only got a couple of days, 1 weekday left, why don't you lay the groundwork on that one?
Well, we do get, as far as traffic volume in the summertime, we do see an increase. Just people enjoying the scenery, the local resources we have down that road. That being said, we also see, normal traffic progresses. You have the residents who go out there and people who are already going to be using the roads. Last night, the situation was, it was a local family. I'm coming back, and there was a, for whatever reason it was, again, the investigations in the preliminary stages, so we can't speak on all the details because we honestly don't know them yet. But what we do know is they went off the road and struck a tree, and one of the four occupants of the vehicle did succumb to their injuries on scene. And very sad situation, local family. And that's the kind of thing that we hate to see. And that's the reasons we're out there. Some of the rural areas as well as the areas more traveled, trying to beat the bushes and enforce distracted driving, speed laws, everything else that we go out there and we do. And people do get upset when they get a ticket, but
who wouldn't?
Exactly. I can remember as a young driver myself getting a plethora of tickets.
How many was that, Chase?
Off the top of my head,
a couple.
Let's see, I only got two hands. So,
you were a frequent flyer.
Well, if you can't beat them, join them. So
everybody can learn.
Yes, living proof.
Are you guys surprised that we don't have more collisions with vehicles hitting trees? I think of 101, and through the various places that there are there, whether it's the Bluffs, south of Crescent City, or in our county, and then with 36 and some mm-hmm. of the 299, that there just aren't more.
Well, yes and no. One thing that I always point out when given the stage is that almost across the board in the high percentages, most of the collisions that we investigate, rural highways, straight stretches of 101, whatever it may be, are found to be directly related and caused by operator error, driver error. Whether that's too high speed, too high for the roadway, whether it's distracted driving, being on texting or whatever case may be, or impairment. So we see that almost inevitably we see that it is caused by something the driver was doing improper. And obviously I can't speak to the recent ones because they're not investigated.
Does hauling trailers, whether it's a ski boat, a ski-doo, or like some of these landscape trailers or the open trailers, are those situations that a lot of times get out of control? Because every once in a while we'll see somebody will make a turn or a little wiggle, a little too sharp, and all of a sudden, we get the movement on the back unit, so to speak.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I don't think we have that many collisions involving trailers.
No. One thing that we did see both in Garberville and up here on some of the rural roads is we talked about local traffic. People are used to it. And then you mix that in with some of the more seasonal stuff, trailers, motorhomes, whatever, boat trailers. We have seen fatalities caused by people getting frustrated by being stuck behind one of these slower moving vehicles. Locals who know the road, know what speed they can take it, and passing on double yellows, whatever the case may be, hitting oncoming traffic. And we've seen multiple cases where that is the primary reason that the collision happened. So that can be a danger that you have to watch out for if you are familiar with the road.
I know you guys aren't engineers, but the double yellows, how do they determine what is where double yellow should be, where a passing lane should be?
I know that Caltrans does a lot of work in engineering the highways that we've got here. They do a great job, and it really contributes to a decrease in the number of crashes we've had over the years. The road gets better and better. One of the many criteria for where those broken and double yellow lines go is roadway width, line of sight, how far you can see, if there's curves and rises in the hill. There has to be an ability for a vehicle to perceive that, make that maneuver, get back into the lane before they come up to a blind curve or a blind hill or something like that. And there's a lot of other criteria involved, but that's probably the main one. And you know, like we talked about frustration. There's, I think after having lived here for a good number of years, almost 30 years, that we forget that we live where other people come to vacation. So we get frustrated at the trailers. We as the community, not the Highway Patrol, we get frustrated at trailers and motorhomes and people who are lost driving the wrong way on 4th Street or whatever. And we get that. And it's nice when the community can stop for a minute and remember that and take their time, blow off a little of that frustration and wait. You know, we would see fewer crashes as a result of motorhomes or trailers or lost people.
Count to five, smile.
Yeah. Or,
yeah.
Or three if, you, yeah, okay. If you're in a hurry.
Yeah, five's too far. Yeah. Yeah, go to three. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Value and selection in new furniture and appliances are just the beginning of the reasons why more North Coast customers like you shop at Burns Furniture. This month, you'll find exceptional prices on the new iComfort mattress sleep system and sale prices on Englander mattresses. It's June, so recliners are on sale, and you'll want to see what's new on the four big floors of furniture and appliances at Burns. Get free delivery from Trinidad to Scotia when you buy at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. Final show.
Yep.
Well, I know. We may still bring you in.
I'll troubleshoot. I'll pinch hit, maybe.
Okay. And Martin Abshire. Both fellows are from the CHP. Guys, this time of the year when there is a different load, more people are on the road than normal. We see what's going on. We got the extended daylight hours, all that kind of stuff. Is that a concern? Or is it just kind of normal and no need to worry about it? Because I will see folks unfamiliar with our area, not necessarily driving the wrong direction, but making some funny turns, doing some weird things, the lane changes.
Or what we see, too, is slowing down to look at the scenery and causing a delay.
Yeah, the Elk, you know, that's a big one, yeah. Or the Bluffs.
Yeah.
But you can almost anticipate that, kind of like what Martin was saying. I mean, you expect people to do
we
that.
We do. You know, in the wintertime, we expect snow on the bypass and 299 and 36. And in the wintertime, we expect an increase in tourism. When HSU is in, we expect, and high schools are in, we expect more traffic in the evenings and less in the day, greater commute during certain hours, and, you know, we just kind of get used to the ebb and flow of the various seasons of traffic. And
do we as community members
get used
to that, though?
I think so.
Oh, I think so. I don't know that people consciously sit around and go, oh, good, you know, there's going to be this kind of traffic or that.
But
we get used to it.
When school is out and Zane and Lafayette aren't working around here, it makes coming to work a whole lot nicer.
Yeah. I guess I could see some neighborhoods that would have a lot of traffic because of a nearby school or something like that could expect less traffic in the summer. But
I think everybody, if they go out to Ruth Lake on a 4th of July weekend, expects to be behind that slow-moving boat or motorhome. And it's just something you plan for and expect.
During the summer, I know what the stereotype is. But during summertime, are Friday nights and Saturday nights, are there, that would be Saturday night if I said it clearly, are there more inebriated drivers on the road or impaired, I guess is now the word, because it doesn't have to be just booze. Or is that just kind of a fallacy that has kind of grown up over the years?
That is seasonal as well. And to some extent it holds true. A lot of people are off work or getting off work and they don't have to get up early, so you have the Saturday night and Friday and Saturday night effect where people are out, whether they're celebrating just the end of the work week or schedule their celebrations there. So you do see more alcohol consumption, you do see more drinking and driving.
But more than, let's say, an October weekend?
Probably. We see more alcohol-related things. And you know, for the Highway Patrol, we have a greater enforcement on, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays than we do on a Monday, Tuesday. I know some of the local police departments that we have here put extra people in their dispatch centers for an increase in calls for service or incidents. So, yeah, there's more so in the summer in better weather. There's more so on the weekends. Sure.
And you see a direct correlation to school, well, HSU in particular.
Well, sure, if there's less... less new drinkers out on the
new drinkers in conjunction with new drivers as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's people who have got their driver's licenses versus driving with a what do they call for the kids?
Provisional.
Yeah. Okay. Is there a big difference between that 17 or 18 year old and that 20 or 21 year old as far as the driving patterns and what you guys experience?
I absolutely think so. I think that any young, responsible kid who's worked hard to get their provisional driver's license sees this new liberty, this new thing I get to do, and they're cautious. And I've sat in traffic court and watched the kid with, you know, having had a driver's license for 4 days, went out and did something that landed him in front of the traffic court judge for some stiff penalties. But I think complacency comes along over time, and the younger driver who's had a license for a while gets more comfortable, more prone to mistakes, more prone to maybe some bad judgment because of that comfort and that complacency.
More than the older driver who's been experienced?
Well,
get complacent?
It's a give and take. You do have the confidence that comes with experience, and you do have sometimes better reaction to a better situation because you've seen it before, you're more confident. But then the complacency almost outweighs that because you, especially with when you put either alcohol or distractions in the equation, if you're a new driver, you're going to be focusing on driving. You're hopefully not going to be texting. Now, if you're really confident and it's a second nature type of thing at this point in your life, then maybe you will introduce some of those other variables, whether it's impairment, whether it's distractions, be it cell phones or navigate, whatever case may be.
Do kids count as distractions?
Do you have kids?
Yeah, okay. A little facetious on this one, but I think, you know, when Chase, you were talking about distractions, most are thinking cell phone.
Sure.
Texting.
Well, the early law was discussed in the open forum so narrowly focused on cell phones initially. And as data started being collected on crashes and incidents related to cell phones, we started seeing, well, this guy was just as distracted with his cheeseburger or his dog in the back. And so that's expanded. Distracted driving isn't just cell phones anymore. It's distracted driving. What do you do that distracts you while you're driving? Well, then you shouldn't be doing it, and whatever it might be. So
to caveat on that, the whole hands-free situation, there's brand new studies that are coming out more and more each day. Hands-free can be just as distracting as handheld, or even more.
Talking to your license.
Right, talking to your...
Yeah.
And you see people more engrossed in those conversations, and they may not be... They may have their hands at 10 and 2 on the steering wheel.
But they're not paying attention.
Their mind is not in the game.
That's right. That's distracting.
Now, that's very similar to having the kids in the back, sure, or the dog in the back, or
I think
whatever it might happen.
Everybody thinks child safety seats are to keep the kids safe. They're actually to strap them in and keep them out of your...
keep them out of your way.
Okay, so yeah, transferring food back and forth from the front seat to the back seat probably
anything
isn't wise.
And I'll see that where you just see somebody using both lanes and getting on the shoulder, and you're thinking, man, they must be impaired or something. And you'll get up there, and they'll be completely sober as the day they were born. And they'll just, they'll have the
8-inch Dagwood sandwich.
The 2-year-old who's screaming for the goldfish crackers, and they were trying to...
Map in their lap that they're trying to read as they go down the highway, or
with the mag light
or
in
the
mouth.
Book that they're trying to finish because they didn't get time to do it at work.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think Chase and I could probably give you many, many
paint by numbers.
That would be impressive trying
video
to read.
Video camera, driving and trying to watch your video camera screen to video camera as you're driving down the road to make sure you get on film. Yeah,
or playing your social networking game. It's your turn, so you got to make this.
The bottom line is, if it's distracting you, you should pull off and stop. Do what you need to do. That's distracting. Get back on the road and pay attention to what you're doing.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from the guys in just a moment.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. Back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Martin Abshire and Chase Adams from CHP. Guys, as people are out on the road, as they're in unfamiliar territories, as they're planning on vacations, we talked before the show about some of the really warm places throughout the state that are going on right now throughout the country.
Sure.
If you're traveling, if you're planning vacations through those areas or to those areas, do you have any suggestions for folks coming from the North Coast or the Wild Rivers Coast that really aren't familiar with the heat, what they should anticipate, how their car handles differently, what they should pack, should anticipate?
The blazing temperatures of the North Coast?
Yeah, versus the paltry 110 to 125.
Absolutely.
Elsewhere.
Absolutely. Following some of the guidelines in your owner's manual of your car or what your manufacturer suggests for tire tread depth, how old your tires are, tire pressures, all the fluids in your car. If you're considering leaving 62 degrees and driving to a place where it's 120 and spending any period of time, you should consider taking a look at the machine that's supposed to bring you home when you're done with that trip.
Theoretically.
Yeah, consider making sure that it's up to speed, that you look ahead. The internet's a fantastic thing to look at the weather where you're going. The weather in between, and anticipate those types of things. Ask yourself what if a couple of times and then take action on those things you can think of and enjoy the trip instead of worrying about maybe breaking down or how to get home after you do.
I talked to quite a few wet individuals over this last week who literally got caught out in the rain because they didn't check their forecast. And how often do we have any substantial rain in June here? So
all those convertible drivers, we all kind of felt like we evened the score a little bit, didn't we?
Or the motorcyclists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of wet leathers.
Yeah. And spray from the car or truck. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, boy, that would not be fun.
And then we laugh, but it does become a huge safety issue if you're not in tune with what's going on.
Yeah, if you don't prepare, if you're not ready, you're inviting disaster. And we would just assume people avoid the disaster and have a pleasant trip, whether they're going somewhere else or coming here to visit.
Well, that kind of sums up the summer.
That's it. We want people to be safe. Make it here, enjoy the time, go home, or go somewhere, enjoy your time, and make it back uneventful.
Thanks for coming by. Mark,
thanks for having us.
Nice to have you here. Maybe we'll see you again down the road. Mr. Adams, I'll be looking for you in the neighborhood, dude.
I'm afraid he's going to be looking for you.
Yeah, well, it goes both ways.
Who knows what you drive?
Yeah, doesn't he, though? Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.